Escuchas Search and Destroy.
Do you have a new lineup right now? How do you feel with this change in the band?
Well, you know, it's not what I was hoping for. You put out a record, and you know, your main songwriter, guitar player, decides that he's finished. I mean, it's not good news.
Yeah.
But it's went to an interesting turn in that, you know, Ed agreed to come back and do these couple shows we have in Mexico City. Who knows after then? I mean, I can't say what he's going to do after that, but if it so worked out that we had the original two guitar players back, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. But I can't say that that's what's going to happen. So, you know, as of this point, I can say Ed, you know, Ed left for a reason, and he still feels those reasons, you know what I mean? And so Ed's totally sober now. He doesn't drink at all. He doesn't do anything. And so he doesn't find it as fun to go on tour or be in a band as he used to when he wasn't worried about such things. And I'm sure you can understand.
Okay.
So being sober for Ed has made him, you know, less passionate about the music business, but he still loves this band. And when there was a need for him to step in and kind of, you know, get involved again when we had the show booked, he called me and said, hey, you know, if you need somebody to go out there, I'm ready to go do a couple shows. So, I mean, that was really an unexpected gift. So I'm very happy to have Ed back.
Okay, and how was the contact with Michael to be in the band again?
Michael is in Phoenix. He's still very much in contact with Kelly, and he had talked to AK quite a bit. I mean, you know, he never really went anywhere. It's just we did a couple shows with Michael and Mark Simpson before.
Okay.
Mike Gilbert and... Mike Gilbert and Mark Simpson before... In the past, or Ed had to do something, or he was sick, or whatever happened. So, when we had done a couple shows with them, and they were years apart, but when the situation came when Ed left, and, you know, when Mark was still in the band, then it was very easy to contact Mike and say, hey, Mike, you know, Ed's left, and, you know, how are you feeling? He jumped right on it. I mean, Mike's never stopped playing. He plays in cover bands, and he plays with various musicians in the Phoenix area, and so... He's still a very passionate guitar player. He, you know, Flotsam and Jetsam is his, you know, one of his creations. Not so much creation, but his, you know, many of those classic songs from Doomsday and No Place were written by Mike Gilbert. I mean, he is very much part of this band's legacy. So, you know, it was, we were very fortunate to have him volunteer to step in for Ed for, you know, to take Ed's place. So we didn't take a whole lot of convincing. He was ready to come back.
Oh, great. How is playing with him again?
Well, we did a whole tour with Mike last year. We went to Europe and did 15 shows with him. So it's, you know, it's perfect. It's not the same vibe as Ed. I won't say it's better or worse. It's just he plays with a little different style. He's a little bit more technical, it's a little bit more improvisational and looser, and it just depends. Well, you know, some people like technical, and some people prefer not so technical. It really, you know, when it comes to music, you have all kinds of fans for all different kinds of vibes, and Mike is a great, passionate technical player, so the rehearsals and the tour went great. You wouldn't even hardly know that, he just stepped right in, and he knew all the songs. I mean, it was pretty amazing, so it didn't take a lot of rehearsal.
Okay, and well, about the new album, The Call, how do you feel with the results and reviews to the album?
The reviews couldn't be better. You know, especially in Europe and the few places in the States that have reviewed it, our record company was a little sloppy in getting out promotional CDs out, but then when Nuclear Blast got involved, there was a lot more, you know, that going on in Europe especially. And, you know, Art Shock magazine is the biggest magazine in Holland and Belgium for music. It goes out to, I don't know, about 30,000 people a month. They gave us an album of a year. I mean, over Slash, you know, all of our peers like Death Angel, the new record, the new Nevermore, the new Overkill, the new Exodus. According to Art Shock, our record blew those records away. I mean, we were very surprised. And then powermetal.de, which is a very big and important German web, you know, music site, gave us album of the month over Motorhead. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, to go to be rated as a record stronger than Motorhead in Germany is really an honor. So, you know, but those are just two examples, really, from our fans. Couldn't be more thrilled with this record. I mean, my God, they're coming out of the woodwork saying this is album of the year and it's the best work you've ever done. Now, I don't necessarily agree. We recorded the bulk of the music for this record over 2 years ago. I mean, you know, so we had a long time sitting on these songs to, you know, that's where you sort of get, you know, a little weird judgment about everything. Because when it takes so long and you hear the songs every day, you know, you just don't have the same feeling for them. They're your songs and you've been listening to them every day. So, you know, you forget how, what special feeling you felt about them in the beginning. I mean, we knew in the beginning what we felt about them for sure, that it was very special material and it was going to be a great record. But the process took a little bit long, so it kind of, it dampens, as we say, the excitement just a little bit for it. So we were very happy when the record came out and the fans and the press were as happy as they were with it. I mean, we got a chance to kind of rediscover the record after it came out and you know, seeing what other people's reaction was to it.
And about the process that you are saying, what took you so long to do The Call? You know, 5 years since Dreams of Death.
It was 5 years from Dreams of Death. Mark started writing the material about a year and a half after Dreams of Death came out. You know, we weren't sure what was going to go on with our label, Crash Music. We weren't sure what was going on. The good news is they ended up, you know, rolling into Driven Music, which was how we got involved with Driven Music. Driven Music is one-third owned by the guy who owned Crash, which was the label we did Dreams of Death on, and the Japanese DVD. So we weren't quite sure about our record deal. So when we knew that was solid and we were going to have Warner Brothers distribution in the United States, that was a big key. So we knew we were going to get good stateside distribution, so we wanted to write a good record. So Mark really was writing those songs for over a year before it was our turn to go into the studio. We got our budget together. So, you know, that was it. So it was about a year and a half of sitting around and about a year of writing the structures of the songs. Then we got our record deal sealed with Driven. Then I went to Phoenix and started working out the song parts with Mark as soon as we knew we had a record to do.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the song workout took about 3-4 months, which was long for this band because we wanted to really do it right. So we were really writing this record for about a year and a half, and then we started drums in the recording, and then all of a sudden our engineer, after the drum and bass and all the rhythm guitar tracks were done, and all we had to do was the leads and vocals, after you know, all the rhythms were done, the engineer got hired away by the original lead guitar player of Korn, Brian Head Wilson.
Yeah.
He's the other owner of our record label. So Brian was going to go on tour. He had just done a record, and he was in a tour to support the record, and at the last minute, he asked our engineer to join his live band, do that touring, and we had an option of either, you know, protesting and going with another engineer to replace him, or waiting for him. Now, we didn't know it was going to take quite that long as it took. If we knew that at the time, we might have replaced him and went with a whole other engineer to finish the record. But at that time, we were really happy with the way it was going in the studio and the sounds we were getting and the input coming from the engineer and the relationship and the vibe we felt with him. So we decided to wait. But we didn't think it was going to take as long as it did. So he got involved with Head, and Head stole him away on different projects, which increased dramatically the amount of time it took to finish our record. So that's what happened. That's why it took so long.
Oh, okay. Well, about your shows in Mexico, what can we expect from the shows?
Well, let's go. I don't think The Cold was even released there, so we're probably not going to spend a lot of time rehearsing much from it. And because really, I mean, Ed lives in California. I live in Las Vegas. Everybody else is in Phoenix, and it was to rehearse, you know, songs off a record that's not even released in the country. It's just a big waste of time. So it's not what people want to hear anyway, it seems. And when we go to foreign countries where we don't go a lot, they just want to hear the old songs. And we understand that. And, you know, we give them what they want. So they can expect a lot of Doomsday and No Play, some Quattro, probably nothing after Drift. I don't think we'll probably play anything much after Drift, because Mark Simpson wrote pretty much all the material from those records since we joined.
Yeah.
And he's not in the band anymore, so we're just going to leave those songs alone for a little while, concentrate on giving Mexico an old school show, which is really the dream show of what everybody always wants anyway, you know. So it might not be a new set for us, but I think the Mexican audience will appreciate it. But, you know, we've played Mexico City once before with Testament. It'll probably be about 75% of the songs from that show, plus a few more that we added the last time we were in Europe from the old school days. So it's going to be an old school show, which is pretty much what everybody seems to want.
Yeah, it's great. And are you going to do the same set list both nights?
You know, it might not be in the exact same order, but I don't think we're going to have two different shows. We don't have enough time to get all that together. I mean, when we book these shows for Mexico City, you know, a good amount of time before Mark quit the band, so we didn't have a whole lot of time to react to what was to what happened. So basically, there's just, I can't leave my job, and Ed can't leave his job to go spend a week in Phoenix and rehearse two different shows. You know, so basically, we're going to switch around the order. We don't anticipate that we're going to have the same audience both nights. It's probably going to be a different crowd both nights, as I understand the club's not that big.
Yeah.
So we'll probably have different audience. Have you been to the club?
Yes. It is a small place.
It's small, but super small. I mean, you can fit a couple hundred people in there, you think?
Oh, yeah, like 300 or 400 people.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you have some diehards that want to go both nights, I suspect, hopefully, that we'll be playing for different people both nights. So I don't think anyone's going to notice if we don't change the set list so much.
Okay, great, Craig. Well, anything else that you want to say to our readers or your Mexican fans?
Well, just that, you know, I've played 18 countries now, and everybody would agree, and I'm speaking for everybody here, in all the 18 countries, and I've played in 47 states, and I've done a lot of shows, man. I'm telling you, Mexico City was such a surprise in a pleasant way that when we went there with Testament, the way the audience was fans, and they were waiting for us, and they had all of our music, and they were singing along, and they were screaming, and I mean, the Mexican audience is a very passionate audience to play for, and we did have no idea, because we had never played Mexico before. We just didn't know what to expect, and we were blown away by everything, the accommodations in the hotel, the food, the beer, just everything. The whole experience of being there was wonderful, and, you know, so because we're so closely connected to Mexico, it's a very special, you know, privilege to be able to go there and play at all, not over the border, but in the biggest city in the world, and have fans there that really show over the top appreciation. I mean, there's probably only two countries that even compare to the Mexican audience, and that's
thank you.
And you know, Spain. I mean, you know, I say you're like in the top three audiences in the whole world to play for, I think. So, you know, I've heard Brazil and all South America is very passionate, too, and I haven't played there, and I'd like to, but what I've experienced in North America anyway, in Central America, is, you know, is nothing but looking forward to play everywhere there that I can. I mean, just there's not too many agents that book you there, but we're happy to have this chance to meet with, you know, Ricardo. He called us back and asked us to come to these shows, and I'm glad that you've at least been to that club. Okay, brother, it's really nice talking to you, man.
Thank you, Greg.
Escuchas Search and Destroy.